Good morning. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our 1Q18 results presentation conference call. GB Auto, we have Dr. Raouf Gabor, CEO, Mr. Abbas Said, Auto Auto and Auto Related Finance Director, and Mr. Ahmed Osama, GB Capital Finance Director, presenting 1Q18 results. I will hand the presentation over to Dr. Gabor for his presentation, and then we will have a question and answer session. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our first quarter results call. Me here today are Mr. Abbas Said, GB Auto and Auto-Related Finance Director, and Mr. Ahmed Osama, GB Capital Finance Director. I cannot begin to tell you how proud I am of our performance this quarter, which by and large is typically the weakest of the year in terms of demand volume in the car segment. We have taken the group back to profitability, and I'm happy to report that this is the end of the dark tunnel. Ladies and gentlemen, I can highlight that our March numbers give us confidence that the run rate for the rest of the year will increase, and that January was indeed a typical seasonal slowdown in what is a growing market. Customers have more or less fully absorbed the price increases by now. We have seen unit sales making a strong comeback in almost every automotive line of business that GB Auto has to offer, as we continue to see increased appetite for our passenger car, motorcycle, and three-wheeler and automotive-related products. We expect to see an improved second quarter 2018 compared to the seasonably muted first quarter. The era of reducing inventory at the expense of margin is behind us. We now benefit from our lower net debt, which is amplified by the reductions in interest rates. As we look forward, we intend to focus on margin recovery and growth. This quarter, passenger car volume dipped from 10,030 units in fourth quarter 17 to 6,319 units due to seasonality effects on the segment. But year-on-year volumes surged 57% and revenues almost doubled, with the segment's gross profit margin expanding. Market continues to exceed our expectations, many suppliers being short of goods as a result. We're expecting that the passenger car market in Egypt is likely to exceed our original forecast of 120,000 units sold this year. We also believe that we will continue to hold on to our leadership position in the market. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll provide you with a quick business-by-business overview. On the passenger car front in Egypt, we continued to maintain our market leadership for the segment in terms of market share, which reached 25.5%, coupled with a healthy recovery in our profitability. We saw historical highs in the sales for the motorcycles and three-wheelers. Key development has been that our components manufacturing facility has officially been completed. This has given the segment a strong operating leverage. At the same time, our sales team was able to pass on price increases without affecting volumes compared to fourth quarter 17. For the commercial vehicles and construction equipment segment, we have increased both revenues and gross profit compared to last quarter. We believe the outlook for the segment is improving in the truck and bus segment due to the rise in tourism activity and increased private sector business. After sales showed a slight dip by the end of the quarter due to seasonality associated with other automotive lines of business. Tires performed relatively well compared to fourth quarter 17, taking the seasonality effect into consideration. However, on a year-on-year basis, our tires business has increased revenues by 78% while maintaining the same level of profitability. As for GB Capital, we're proud of the outstanding performance. We have increased the portfolio by 8% quarter-on-quarter and continue to capture more market share across all five subsidiaries. We have generated a return on equity of more than 35% while maintaining a strong risk discipline. see credit quality remaining very strong. And Ahmed will share more details with you shortly. I would like to give you some guidance for the second quarter of the year for our auto and auto-related division, where we expect top-line growth of 15% compared to the previous quarter, while maintaining our gross profit margin at approximately 12%. And for our GB Capital division, we should see revenue rising 10% compared to the first quarter of the year, while maintaining a gross profit margin over 25% after intercompany elimination. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll conclude my remarks and turn the call over to Abbas, who will give us a rundown of GB Auto and auto-related financial performance. Thereafter, Ahmed will take you through GB Capital's performance before we open the call up to your questions. Abbas, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Raouf. GB Auto and auto-related segments of operating profit was positive across the board in Q1. At both gross profit level and operating profit, the strong increase quarter over quarter is visible. As Dr. Raouf mentioned earlier, it is clear from these results that our auto and auto-related business lines have turned the corner from a focus on inventory reduction in 2017 to a renewed focus on profit growth in 2018. GB Auto and auto-related reported revenue came in at $4 billion in Q1 2018 compared to $4.7 billion during Q4 2017, but are up 70% over Q1 2017. Gross profit for the division hit $488.7 million with a margin of 12%, up 66% compared to the Q4 of 2017. This underlines impressively how our management team has continued to deliver quarter-over-quarter profit improvements since the middle of last year, when we started to separately report our auto and auto-related division. The reduction of excess inventory was successfully concluded in the last quarter of 2017. Management has stabilized the inventory at a similar level at end of March than at the end of 2017. While demand was seasonally low in January, we have seen an increase in our monthly sales figures during the quarter and hence have positioned inventory to fulfill a faster pace of sales during Q2. As a consequence, the auto and auto-related net debt has increased marginally to $4.3 billion balance at the end of Q1 2018 versus the end of 2017. EBITDA for the quarter has significantly improved to 250.6 million Egyptian pounds, reaching a margin of 6.2%. This in turn has improved our EBITDA to finance cost ratio from 0.26 times to 1.01 times, which is a trend we expect to continue. Similarly, our net debt to EBITDA has improved from 13 times to approximately 4 times. I would also like to point out that with our return to a meaningful EBITDA during Q1, we have achieved a return on capital employed of 13% in the quarter and will target further improvements in this metric in the coming quarters. That concludes my presentation for today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll now turn the call over to Ahmed, who will run you through GB Capital's financial performance for the quarter. Ahmed.
Thank you, Ambas. I am very happy to once again report that GB Capital has in Q1 2018 achieved yet another quarter-on-quarter growth in our revenues as we continue to bolster our standing in a market that is looking for financing options. This has been achieved despite the usual slow car-related business environment at the start of the quarter in January, and is a testament to the diversification of our activities across financial products and different sectors of the economy. In first quarter 18, we have achieved revenues of £1,017,000,000. We have improved our profitability with annualized return on average equity at 38%, compared to 34.2% during Q4 2017. When looking at our overall asset base and not taking account of leverage, we have improved our annualized return on average assets to 23%, approximately 200 basis points higher than fourth quarter 2017, ahead of our total cost of debt. As you would expect, we have grown the loans to receivable portfolio and recorded nearly 8% growth in the first quarter of the year to £6.2 billion compared to £5.7 billion in fourth quarter 2017. This sets up for further revenue growth in Q2 on the basis of these newly originated transactions. We have achieved these results by staying close to our customers while ensuring our credit standards are upheld. Consequently, I am pleased to say that our loan portfolio quality is healthy, with non-performing loans at 1.6% and the NPL coverage ratio coming in at 145.6%. GB Capital companies remain conservatively leveraged. The total leverage for GB Capital stood at 4.45 times debt to equity as of 31st of March 2018, compared to 4.51 times in fourth quarter 2017. From a regulatory definition, leverage is even lower at 3.55 times as per the regulator's definition. GB Capital related companies debt stood at £4.7 billion as of 31st of March 2018, with debt levels expected to continue to rise as we find the growth in our portfolio of loans and receivables. I can assure you that we will continue to adhere to our conservative debt-to-equity leverage objectives. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes my remarks for today. We now open the floor to your questions. Peter.
Thank you. If you'd like to signal for a phone question, please press star 1 at this time. Once again, that's star 1 to be placed in the queue, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And again, as a reminder, that's star 1 to signal. We'll go first to Hadi Medhat with Pharos.
Hello. Congrats on the results. Pretty encouraging numbers. I had a few questions. I'll start with the PC segment. PC margins improved in the quarter significantly, and I just wanted to make sure how sustainable these margins are going forward. Do you expect to maintain the margins you achieved in 1Q for the whole year?
Yeah, actually, the market is allowing us to gradually increase our prices and thus improving our margin. So I expect that we might see a slight improvement for the margin during coming quarter, during this quarter.
Okay. Sales were down 1Q across the whole market, but your market share went down to about 25%. Do you still expect to reach your 30% target market share?
As a matter of fact, we suffered during this quarter from a strike at Hyundai Motors. So we were very short of goods. So I think that it could have sold 15 or 20% extra volume if we had availability.
Strike at Hyundai Motors?
Yeah, it was a strike at Hyundai Motor, which affected our supply during Jan and
okay. Okay, the recovery in the regional business, there was also a jump, like gross margins reached 10%. Do you expect also the recovery in the regional business to be sustainable, or is it just a one-off?
I see very clear improvement signs in the Iraq market. So regional business is now specifically Iraq, because in Algeria we are almost getting out of the market. We have not been able to get the license for manufacturing, but we are limited to a quota of 300 cars a year, which doesn't justify our existence in the Algerian market. As for Iraq, definitely with the increasing oil prices, economic conditions in Iraq are improving and the market is improving, which is allowing us to increase our prices. So I expect to sustain those margins.
So you believe there's like a turnaround in the Iraqi business?
It's the turnaround in both the Iraqi and the Egyptian.
Okay. Recently, GB Auto merged with RG Investments. I think that's, to my understanding, that's the first step towards splitting off GB Capital. So are there any news or any updates on GB Capital's the separate listing?
As a matter of fact, what you read about the General Assembly is the first step, after which we are starting the process with the Egyptian government for the merger, which could take about 1 year. So then after that, be in a position to start considering the split between Goto and I do not expect to happen in 2008.
Okay, basically nothing's going to happen. Excuse me?
It could happen in 2020. Yeah, you know, the
2020.
The Egyptian government is very slow, both in the merger, merging process and the demerging. It's unfortunately a matter of bureaucracy.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot.
And we have no further questions in the queue, but again, as a reminder, if you would like to signal, please press star 1. Once again, that's star 1 to be placed in the queue. We have no questions in the queue at this time. I do apologize. We do have another question. We'll go next to Nikhil Arora with Franklin Templeton Investments.
Hello, Mr. Gabor. Thank you so much for hosting the call and congratulations on a good set of 1Q numbers. I have a couple of questions, if I may. Number one is, do you expect the auto business to come back to net profit positive at any point during 2018, especially in the second quarter? And my second question is, how would the capital business net interest margin react to further interest rate cuts in Egypt?
Okay. Thank you. Regarding the first question, in my guidance, it's clear that in the second quarter, passenger car or automotive business is getting back to profitability. It's very clear. We see it. We are already half through the second quarter. I am very confident we have turned the corner. Automotive business will show serious profitability during this quarter and improving in the next one, in the next quarter. As for the second question, further reduction in interest rate will definitely improve. Very positive for our business. First of all, it makes it more encouraging for the people to borrow because the cost of borrowing will be more reasonable and it will boost investment, which is important for our business. Second, in some of our finance businesses, we are borrowing at variable and lending at fixed. So in this case, a typical example of this is in consumer finance, Drive. In this case, as well as microfinance. So in this case, when the interest rate reduces, our cost of fund is reducing while the future collections are at a much higher charged interest rate. So our margin will improve. So definitely, a cycle of reducing interest rates is in favor of finance business in general.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Matt Sharoff with Barings.
Hello, sir. Thanks for this. My question, I can take it offline as well. But I thought since nobody's asking, I thought I'll just ask this. For the Hyundai, what we've read or heard is that one of your key models, Hyundai, is going to not continue making it or something like that. So if you can share some thought on that. And also on the auto policy, if you can share how will that affect us when we can have imports.
I didn't get right the first question.
Right, sorry. Hyundai, one of our key models in Hyundai, that can get discontinued, something like that. There was something. So I can take it offline as well. So if there's something on that, if you want to share on that. And also on the auto policy, how will...
Auto policy I got, but again, the first question I didn't get.
Okay, then I'll take the first one offline. Fine. Something like or I can just ask in a different way. In terms of the Honda, in terms of the Hyundai car models, do we have any future issues that can come up in terms of the most popular cars not being produced by them or something like that?
Okay. Regarding the first question, we are currently phasing out a model from Hyundai Motor, which we are assembling in TKD, which is called Verna. Verna has been assembled in our factories for the last 14 years. It just makes sense that it's not economical anymore. And just for your information, this model currently is the only model generating losses among the total portfolio of automotive business, not only passenger cars. So we are very happy to be liquidating and getting out of this model, because not having this model will improve our profitability by sparing the company its losses. All other models, we are in discussion with Hyundai Motor to start a new EKD project. We have all the agreements in place with Hyundai Motor. We are waiting to launch or start the investment. The moment the automotive directive is in place. So that will bring us to the second, your second question. I have no information or official information, except that I have seen the Ministry of Industry announcing a new regulation or a ministerial decree last week, which is related to redefinition of local content in automotive assembly industry, which, to my opinion, is a very clear indication that the automotive directive is about to be sent from the ministry to the parliament for ratification in the very near future. I may be wrong in my assessment, but this is my personal reading of the situation. We have spoken about the automotive directive for years. I am sick and tired, and I refrain from even calling the minister or any official, governmental official, asking about it. I'm waiting for it to happen the moment it happens. My personal assessment from last week's government decision is that it is a hot issue and it is about to be sent to the parliament. But I cannot be held responsible for that because it's not my decision. I hope I have been...
I meant...
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So what I meant was, will the import, will the auto policy be a positive for us, or will it be positive for the importers, where they would want to get cheaper imports, or so will they want,
It's going to be positive for all assemblers. So it's going to be positive for CKD business, not for EBU business.
Right, sir. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And again, as a reminder, that's star one to signal. We'll go next to Ahmed Sharita with TRG Management.
Hi, Dave, do you want to take this?
Yes, hi, Dr. Agubu. This is Beidi from TRG. First of all, congratulations on turning the corner for the business. We've been tracking your the progress for the past few years, so this is, very, congratulations on the results of the hard work. A couple of questions from us. You mentioned during the call that there's some inventory shortage that you're actually seeing demand stronger than supply in the first quarter, and there's some shortage, otherwise the sales would have been higher. Just want to confirm that, that is the case. And also kind of if you could update us on the inventory movement that you're seeing, are we now in inventory replenishment phase? And as you mentioned, you were renegotiating with some of the suppliers in the past. So just wonder how is that going and whether or not you expect to achieve some positive results, whether we will see some new inventories coming in the second quarter. I have a couple questions, but maybe I'll stop first and then I'll follow up with some other questions.
Yeah, okay. So the first question was about demand and supply. Okay. Definitely, yes, in Q1 we had shortage of supply, which was mainly due to two factors. The first factor I mentioned was the Hyundai strike, which delayed receiving orders we had planned, which was resolved now. So from March we started receiving volume. The second reason was the management was coming from an era of very bad market conditions. Mentally, they could not foresee or forecast better than 20% growth for this year. Obviously, the recovery is bigger, much bigger than the 20%. So the management is adapting to the new reality, and from Q2, volumes are improving, and if we see this is sustained, we will increase again in Q3. So this is in answering for your first question. Second question? Yeah, of course, we are, the level of inventory at the end of last year, I wouldn't say is healthy. When somebody loses too much weight, overweight is very unhealthy, but underweight is as unhealthy. So I think that in the end of Q2, we reached a level which I can describe as unhealthy in terms of inventory level. So starting from this year, we are in the mood of replenishing inventory, and you should expect that our level of inventory will increase with a significant increase of business revenues and volume, as well as you should expect our overdraft or debt level to start increasing again with this increase in business and in inventory. And negotiations
okay.
with...
Thank you. And then could you give us a sense...
Negotiations, you asked about...
Please go ahead, sorry.
Our negotiations with the supplier, we have had extremely good results of our negotiations with all our suppliers across the board, whether in passenger car, truck and bus, two and three wheelers, without which we would have found it very difficult to turn the corner and to achieve what we've achieved. So I really appreciate their support and thank them for what they did and for their belief in the Egyptian market. The last supplier, which we are hopefully concluding our agreements with very shortly, is Geely. And I expect that with this last one being concluded, we should be seeing a serious volume of business for Geely starting from Q3 this year.
Okay. And based on your the kind of renewed supplier agreement, how do we think about your margin going forward? Do you feel, and also as a clarification, is it, are we still mostly selling CKD or there's, can you give us an update on CBU and CKD as well as, you know, how shall we think about your gross margin given the, what you see as the new supplier agreement?
What you see where? Given what you see where?
Sorry, just wanted to get an update on the mix between CBU and CKD and also okay. your gross profit margin expectation given the given what you see as the new supplier agreement, the pricing level that you see from the suppliers.
Currently, the share of CKD is 60%. Currently, our mix is 60% CKD, 40% CBU. But the profit really comes from CBU, not from CKD. So what is affecting our CKD volume and profitability is the current legislation environment, which is not favoring or which is very unfair to local assemblers, which is why the automotive directive or the new law is very important. So with the new law, we expect that this mix is going to even increase from 60-40 to 70-30, but with an improved, very much improved level of profitability for CKD.
Okay. So without the new legislation, do you expect growth with the current mix, where do you think the your gross profit margin to stabilize that?
And for the for all the automotive, I have given in the guidance an average of 12% gross margin for this quarter. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, sorry. Could you repeat that number again?
So I mentioned in the guidance for the second quarter that we are expecting a 12% margin, gross margin for auto and auto-related business.
Great, thank you. My last question is regarding GB Capital. So we've seen quite a lot of leasing and microfinancing companies that it's either, you know, going IPO and raising capital. So just wondering if you could help us differentiate your leasing and microfinancing business versus your competitors. Where do you see most of the competitors are competing on? You know, what are they competing on, rates, or are they competing on cost of funding, or, you know, where do you see yourself as a, you know, competitive advantage versus a few others?
Let us talk about leasing separate from microfinance. In leasing, there are about 200 companies in Egypt. And you hear hundreds of others considering to establish new companies for leasing. So we may have 1,000 leasing companies in 2 years' time. But having 200 today, honestly speaking, I consider that I have two competitors, not more. So that's CI Capital. Mm-hmm. And yes, all the others, I don't see them in the market. It's not consistent. Regarding CI Capital and EFG, their cost of funds might be either similar to ours, or I may claim that I don't know, but I may believe that we are slightly below, because our management is extremely successful in, or trustworthy, let's say. We have a very prudent approach. Our quality of portfolio is definitely the best in the market, and because of this, the management is able to get a fractional better cost of funds. So today, the market may be having some competition, but at the end of the day, the customer is keen about the time it takes for a credit approval to happen and for the cash to be made available. And this is where the quality of the management really counts. And this is where GB Lease is really strong. So I'm very confident. I'm not at all worried about another 50 or 100 companies coming in. I'm always watching CI Capital and EFG, and I don't see anybody else. In microfinance, our growth represents 36% plus of the total market growth. So clearly, we are, if not the biggest today, we will definitely be the biggest before the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to state also...
And for microfinance...
Excuse me, I have to state also that for GB Capital, today we have about anywhere between 2.5 to 3 billion Egyptian pounds available unutilized bank facility limits, which I am ready to bet no other player in Egypt has it, and this proves how good the portfolio quality and the management capability is, because the Egyptian banks, they wouldn't be willing to extend those size of limits without having a huge confidence in the quality of the company they are lending.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Just, you know, for microfinance, what do you see as the entry barrier here? Is it, as you implied before, is it the kind of the brand recognition? Is it the kind of the branch network, the reach? Or you feel that's more of a capital availability?
No, it's none of it. None of it. Because a few years ago, we had zero network. We started with a very small capital. So it's nothing. Nothing like the network, nothing like the capital. It is all about management. So you have the management, you have the controls, you have the money, and you have the will, you make it.
Right. So execution. Thank you so much. That's all my questions.
You should ask competitors in microfinance about their default ratio, their NPL ratio, and check with our guys the ratio. Then you have a very clear picture about who is doing what in Egypt.
Mm. Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we have no further questions in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope this quarter, I'm going to be able to deliver new brilliant results, hopefully. Thank you. Bye.
And that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.